We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
And I want to just compliment, first of all, our guys and also Cincinnati for being professionals. You know, you always worry about, you know, guys, you know, going off and fighting and all those things, and they were great. They stayed on their feet, stayed away from the quarterback on both sides, and did a really good job of just being professional. And they were physical. We got some really good work done. So a lot of good situations in that practice. Like I said, that's the first time I've done that one day joint practice. And again, I thought it was really good. A lot of good work in the kicking game. As you guys saw, certainly with that long period we had with kickoff return, that was very beneficial for us to be able to go back and look at that. Punt and punt return, that was really good too. But again, we finished off with a 2-minute at the end. I thought that was good with the ones and twos. A lot of good work overall.
The Fluce loved the practice that he saw between his Bears and the Bengals, a joint practice at Halas Hall. They get ready for a game tomorrow. Preseason number 3 will happen at Soldier Field. Kickoff is at noon. You can watch on Fox 32, and we are all looking forward to it and hoping that we get this is what I want. I want to see something close to what we saw from Caleb Williams last week. Doesn't have to be a whole lot better. Doesn't have to be better at all, really. It can even be slightly less good, and I will still feel okay about it. I'm on a Caleb high, like many of you are. And this text message says, from a 773, and you're welcome to text or call the show at 312-644-6767. I hate to burst everyone's Caleb bubble, but I think the defense is going to be obnoxiously dominant and overshadow Williams' progression. I don't know if it will be obnoxiously dominant, but let's say, for the sake of argument, that it is really good. And it is good this season to the point where it is taking a lot of attention off of Caleb Williams. You know what? Fine. I am perfectly fine with that because it means they're winning. If he's still making progress and they are doing well and they're winning ball games, even if he's not great immediately out of the gate, I think that's fine. I don't care about that. He does not have to be the best thing about the team in year one. In fact, if anything, the defense could take a little bit of pressure off him. And as I say that, I also recognize we're talking about somebody who does not appear to... I'm not going to say he doesn't feel any pressure, but it doesn't appear that pressure gets to him in an overwhelming way, because all players feel pressure to some extent. I don't think that it overwhelms him to the point where he can't play. I don't think it locks him up. I do think they have a special one, and I cannot wait for the regular season to start. Can't wait to talk to you either. So let's get to a phone call or two, shall we? The listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We talk with John, who's in his truck and is on The Score. Good evening, John. Hello, John. Did we lose John?
I'm real excited.
There you are. Hey, John,
no, I'm
what's
here.
Up? Talk to
me,
my
really
friend.
I'm really excited about this year. Real excited. But what I'm so excited about, I don't know exactly. I'd like you to talk more about defensive line and what you think the defensive line is going to be. Because if the defensive line is going to be adequate this year and it's young enough and everything's good, then we can have the ability next year to stack the offensive line or get at least a center for the offensive line and then pick and choose who we want to put in the best player back in the defense to make the defense even better. In other words, I know linebackers aren't as proficient or aren't as – they're not needed as much as what they used to be, like when Urlacher was there. But just being able to pick a top player back in the back of the defense and not have to worry about the front line of the defense, I don't know. You know what I mean? But – yeah, I'm really excited this year, but I'm really excited for the draft next year because Lord knows we need to put some more time and money into that offensive line. to keep our Williams safe.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. John, what you're, I think what you're asking is, will the defensive line be good enough and the prospects of the line be good enough for next year that they can focus more on the O-line instead of having to worry about drafting a defensive end or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe. Look, I think we're all going to be paying a very close attention to Austin Booker, and I don't know what the plan is for him or what it will be when the season starts, but he's been super impressive, at least in that, you know, in the preseason so far. And if that continues, that could take a lot of pressure off that decision. I expect Sweat to be healthy, and if he is, great. Dexter, Billings, I like what they have. I don't know if they're going to be a dominant defensive line. I think a lot of that is really, I don't think it's knowable right now. I think the prospects of them being a good line are good. That's all you can say right now. But I really am encouraged by Booker, who is probably going to give them some really good value. I'm not so sure that, I think there are probably a lot of teams at this point. I mean, of course, you're going to have to wait a little bit, but you're probably going to feel like, or a lot of teams are going to feel like maybe that's one guy that they missed out on by not drafting him earlier. I appreciate your phone call, however, and we'll get to more of them as the show goes on, but it is time to go to the Score hotline right now. And the Score hotline is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We are visiting with Herb Howard, who works the Bears beat for It's the Bigs. You can follow Herb on Twitter at HerbHoward411. He joins us now on the Score. Good evening, Herb.
Ronzi, great evening, man. How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. Thanks for talking to us on a Friday. It's a Chicago Friday, and you're talking Bears with us. So, thank you for doing
that. It's football season. That's the only thing to talk about right now.
You know what? It really is, man. You must be pumped about tomorrow. And I've been telling people that I have this irrational, unreasonable Caleb Williams high that I'm not sure anybody can talk me down from. Could you talk me down from it, or do you think I need to be talked down?
Yeah, no, I don't have any desire to talk you down from it. Nor do I think there's any as much ammunition to talk you down from it. Everything you've heard about Caleb Williams coming into this process, he has been so far. He seems to be a very good teammate, a very hard worker. He wants to be great. And then when he had his opportunity to step out on the field in his first NFL action, he performed very well. You saw all of his entire skill set, his patience in the pocket. You saw the arm strength. You saw the different arm talent in terms of the arm angles. You saw his ability to get out on the edge and make plays in the passing game. You even saw him pick up a big third down with his leg. So everything that you heard he could do, everybody had a chance to see it in his debut. So I don't know if there's much to not be excited about in his game right now. So far, he seems to be checking all the boxes.
Yeah, he really does. And again, all we have to go off of is college tape, which I don't know how much I rely on that anymore. I want to see his professional work. We watch training camp. We hear the reports. We hear what people say about him. And seven throws in a preseason game. I can't recall ever paying so much attention or trying to extrapolate so much from seven throws in a preseason game.
Can you? Sure. No, I can't. But I can tell you what, though. I don't think that it was, you know, a whole lot of fluff in trying to extrapolate those things from those seven throws. You saw some real things on each of those throws. You go back to the 3rd and 12 where he hits DJ Moore. You saw the patience in the pocket, no panic at all. Kept his eyes downfield, stepped and threw an absolute missile on time and on target to DJ Moore coming back down the film. He gets outside on the pocket, and you can talk about his ability to throw on the run when he hits Cole Kmet down the sideline. Same thing when he goes to the lower level to DJ Moore. There was just a lot to like about the seven throws that he made. You can even dissect, you know, some of the incompletions, the couple of incompletions that he had. One was a Cole Kmet drop, another a DJ Moore drop. Both of those things are very rare. And then he just had a bit of a, he just couldn't connect. They weren't thinking the same thing trying to hit Roma Dunze in the back of the end zone. So there was a lot to dissect from each of those throws, and most of it you had to like.
Yeah, it's not really about what the results are from what he did. It's about how it looks, I think, at this point. So what I'm hearing you say is it's kind of backing up how I feel about it. It just, whatever he does, it just looks right. It looks the part of a real professional, maybe special quarterback.
Yeah, it's not a projection type of thing. And, you know, being here in Chicago, and I'm sorry, Ronnie, if you can hear, I'm in my car, and it is pouring down rain. So I don't know if you hear this rain here in my car or not. I hope not. But
are you safe? Do you need to get safe. Under an underpass?
No, I'm parked. I'm good. But it's just pouring down. anyway, no, it's not a projection like we've tried to make so many times in the past with Bears quarterbacks, where you're trying to project. Can he become this? Can he turn into that? Can he get better at this? Can he become that? You see that he has all those skill sets. So I'm not saying he's ready-made product and he's finished. He's as good as he's ever going to be. I'm saying that you can see all of those things that you're looking for in a finished product. You see that he has those things already in his tool, and he just needs to refine them as he gains more experience.
Yeah, you don't have to squint very hard.
You don't.
That's what's really impressive about him. Herb Howard covers the Chicago Bears for It's the Bigs, and he is with us right now on 670 The Score. We had a caller a moment ago asking about the defensive line and what that's going to look like, and will it as a unit perform well enough that maybe they don't have to worry about, I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, that they don't have to worry about focusing on defensive line in the next draft, then maybe that's an area that's taken care of. What is your assessment of the line as we still sit here a couple of weeks before the season starts?
Yeah, I think, you know, projecting into next year's draft, I think they're going to invest in the trenches probably on both sides of the ball. They got some early draft capital. They may use it to move up and down the board if they so choose, but I think either way, they'll probably invest on both sides of that line. But as it sits right here today, I think you come into it with a few questions. The biggest question for me is Jarvon Dexter going to take that next step to become a disruptive, difference-making force in the middle of that defense at the three technique? If he is, then this defense could be special. And then the other question is, who's going to play the opposite end across from Montez Sweat? Obviously, DeMarcus Walker is going to be starting there. And then you got a couple of questions. You're trying to figure out, is this the end of the Dominique Robinson experiment? He made a very nice play against the Bills on that opening drive when he stuffed them on the third and short run. You got what you've seen so far from Austin Booker, but he's still a fifth-round pick. He's still very raw. A lot of tools you like. Got a lot of traits that you like in terms of his length, his quick, his bendability, his motor. There's a lot to like about what you've seen from Austin Booker, but those, again, are much more questions than they are answers. And so as we go through the process, we'll find out if the Bears are able to answer those things in the affirmative. And if they are, then this defense could be really, really special because that back seven is as good as any in the league. And you're going to get them. Nobody's going to run the ball on this defense, right? The defensive line, you talk about starting with Andrew Billings. He is absolutely an immovable object in the middle of that defensive line. You are not going to run the ball up the middle. Same thing with Jarvon Dexter. He's just a large, massive man who's very athletic, can hold up at the point of attack, and he got two really good linebackers that like to come downhill and fill in those gaps. So you aren't going to run the ball on this defense. Offensive coordinator is going to have to be very creative about how they choose to attack. You're going to see a lot of, I would imagine, passes on first down, just kind of keep this defense off balance, because if you come there and you try to run the ball first down, second down, you're going to find yourself in third and seven, third and eight quite frequently because they just aren't going to allow you to run the ball on them with any level of consistency, and then you're going to be forced to throw the ball again against that great secondary, and I don't think you want to be putting yourself in that position. So this defensive line certainly has some questions, but they certainly have some intriguing pieces that may be able to answer those questions very positively.
There's sort of been a Nate Davis saga that's been occurring during training camp, and on the offensive line, he did practice. I think the last practice he was there the entire time, so he did participate, but there have been a lot of questions about what is going on with him. Is there a concern about him being ready for the regular season, and once the season starts, him being out there for all 17?
Yeah, Ron, I think there'll be a concern about him until he's able to string together a good amount of stars with positive performance. I think he certainly has the talent and the ability when he's on the field, but the biggest question is his availability, and it just hasn't been consistent since he signed with the Bears last March. And so it's going to remain a question. He seems to be very dismissive of the topic. And, you know, I don't listen to the outside noise. I don't listen to social media. I didn't hear Coach Flus kind of call me out on it. All those things that he said in his press conferences, in his press conference the other day. But I think at the end of the day, until he's able to prove that he's reliable, that he's someone that this team can depend on, those questions will linger. Whether he hears them or not, they will linger, and they are legitimate. He just has not been consistently available for this team. They need that offensive line to settle down in front of their rookie quarterback, find out what their best five combination is, get those guys playing together on a consistent basis, and start to kind of build some continuity and see how good they can be.
Talking with Herb Howard on the Score, and I asked Grody this question earlier when talking about him, when talking about the offensive line. What do you want to see happen in terms of, and I mean realistically, in protecting Caleb Williams, because we know it's probably not a perfect line and it may be far from perfect, but what do you want to see from them and then how he reacts to it? And I guess the ultimate question is, if the line is not perfect, do you think highly enough of Caleb Williams that he can overcome it?
Yeah, I guess I'll answer the second part first. I think highly enough of Caleb Williams to be able to kind of figure that out and overcome it, but it's also a combination of him and Shane Waldron. Can you do some things to kind of alleviate the pressure that he would see if this offensive line is not able to perform at a high enough level? Can you get him out on the edge? Can you be a little bit unpredictable in some of your play calls so that gives them a little bit more of an opportunity? Ideally, for the offensive line, you would want them to be able to be better than the sum of their parts, right? You want to see Darnell Wright take that next step and really become, at least continue on that trajectory to become an elite right tackle in this league. You're talking about a top 10 pick. You want him to be a stalwart on your line for the next decade. And so you want him to really take that next step in his second year and show that he is that type of player in this league. And the rest of the guys, you want them to just settle into their positions. Get this thing figured out. If it's going to be Nate Davis, right guard, Tevin Jenkins, left guard, Braxton Jones, left tackle, and probably right now Coleman Shelton at center, because Ryan Bates, one, had to fill in so much a right guard for Nate Davis, but two, now he's been out for a while himself with an injury. So you get those five guys in there, you let it settle down, and hopefully they can build up the chemistry, they can build up that continuity, get used to playing together, and maybe none of them are all pro performers, but perhaps together, collectively, they can play better than they are as individuals.
Well, lastly, as we let you go here, tomorrow's game, of course, we're going to look at Caleb Williams and what he does his second time out. So what do you need to see from him that will satisfy you? And other than that, is there something from the team at large that you want to see that'll make you happy?
Yeah, I've been watching Jerron Dexter the entire summer and throughout training camp because I just think he's that important to what this defense can be and ultimately what this team can do. And so I'll continue to keep my eye on him. Just the small things with him, just, you know, pad level, get off, you know, consistent effort after he's been out there on the field, you know, 6-7 reps in a row. Those types of things are what I'm looking for with him. But with Caleb, I just want to see more of the same. Just continue to show that poise. Obviously, you would love to see them punch in, you know, a touchdown last week when they were able to, you know, have two scoring drives somewhere with a couple of field goals. But I think that was probably as much a byproduct of Shane Waldron not wanting to dig too deep into his red zone bag. Like I don't know that you can have a vanilla red zone package, right? Your red zone package is what it is. And so once they got down there, I don't think he wanted to go into showing his personnel grouping, showing his formation, showing the things he likes to do down there. And so they kind of just ran the ball, took the 3 points and moved on once they were down there with that first unit. So just more of the same from Caleb Williams. Just continue to show that poise, continue to show the patience in the pocket, eyes down the field, make the plays that are there for you to make. And he seems to be able to do that certainly well last week. He did it pretty well in the joint practice against the Bengals. I think I'm expecting the same from him tomorrow. And when he does hit adversity, move on, right? There's going to be times, whether it's tomorrow or at some point in the season, he's going to have some adversity. There's going to be a couple of turnovers here, a couple of bad reads, bad throws here or there. Move on, flush it, and come back on the next drive.
Herb Howard, enjoy the game tomorrow. Enjoy your Friday night as well, and we will talk again soon. Appreciate you giving me your time on a Friday night.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That is Herb Howard, covers the Bears for It's the Bigs, and you can follow Herb on Twitter at Herb Howard 411. Our phone number, you know it, It is 312-644-6767. Still have a little over a half hour left with you. Carter Hawkins was on the score earlier today. Want to bring you a little bit of that. Also want to bring you some of what Joe Burrow had to say about Caleb Williams and being a rookie quarterback, comments that he made this week as the Bears and Bengals had joint practices. I'm Chris Ranji filling in on Score Evenings. This is 670 The Score.
Layla, go ahead. Call me dad.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said on the game day, honestly, I didn't expect him to be that comfortable. You know what I mean? Just his first time being out there. Obviously, it's a preseason game. Regular season Buffalo's a pretty hostile place to play. So it was pretty good to watch it. Like I said, just watching him on the sideline, just interacting with him, you know, in the locker room, just even on the road, and just look real calm. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that you want to see out of a young quarterback. He kind of have a veteran mentality when it comes to just being relaxed, and he's, you know, kind of getting to his element. So it's something you like to see, and, you know, hopefully continue to see it.
Safety Kevin Byard talking about Caleb Williams, who will be making another start for the Bears tomorrow. Starters are going to play in the game tomorrow. We don't know exactly how much they're going to play. My guess is around what they did last time, maybe a little bit more. And we will certainly find out. And I have not looked forward to preseason games like this. I don't know if ever. Honest to God, I really have not. Maybe some of Justin Fields starts, but this one feels different than even that. I'm Chris Ranji tonight on 670 The Score, 312-644-6767. Let's get to a couple of calls, shall we? Popeye is in Riverside. I believe that's probably not his real name. What's going on, Popeye?
Hey, Ranger. How you doing?
I'm okay, my friend.
We need to talk about this Cardinal situation.
The Cardinal situation?
Yeah.
Okay, why
do they
tell me
fake
about
it as much as the Cubs?
Why do they fake, what?
They fake winning now as much as the Cubs do.
They fake? What do you mean by fake winning?
Well, they fake rosters and salaries just like the Cubs do.
And you don't
give them shit. And that's
okay. I'm sorry, Popeye. We got to go. You can't say that. We have rules. Yeah, we have rules. We have rules. We have FCC. We have violations. And if we have violations, we have people getting in severe trouble. You could have easily cost Sean Sears his job. Just
jump, dump him, dump him, dump him.
Can't say that.
It's
come on,
no,
man.
No, big no, no, Popeye.
This ain't a podcast, bro. What's the matter with you? Or can we can't even take a call right now, can we? We have to wait because Popeye ruined it. I don't even know what he was going to say. It probably wasn't going to be good enough. I know that. But we do appreciate the phone call. Sean, we're good. We're good. We're not going to be in trouble. The FBI is not going to show up.
No. We're okay.
Are we good to take a call now or do we have to wait?
It's your call. We could take a call if you'd like.
Okay, so I'm wondering because I know that there's the whole delay and the buildup and all of that stuff. If we're good, then we'll take a call. Let's talk to Josh, who is at O'Hare, and Josh is with us. Hello, Josh.
Chris, what's up, Chris?
Nothing, dude. Talk to me.
Man, I'm driving back from Crystal Lake. My softball game got canceled, so I'm kind of angry. But I was listening to you, man, talking about Caleb Williams. And you were talking about how, you know, it's kind of like you have this uneasiness because it's the Bears, you know. But I'm like, his presence, whether it be with the media or even on the field, he is so different from the previous two that he has to be the second coming. He has to be the proof.
Oh,
he
no,
has
no.
to be the real deal.
Josh, listen to me. I'm not going to argue with you. I said the opposite. I said I'm on board with this guy. Right now, here's what I would tell you. If I had children, young children, I would allow Caleb Williams to raise them for me. That's how much I believe in him.
Go. There you go. I mean, dude, you look at him talking about, like, excitement for preseason. Watching him make that throw on the run, I got goosebumps. It was like the first time I heard the Beatles.
Let's go. Let's go, Josh. Let's go.
What I was feeling watching Caleb Williams. And the thing is, people are like, oh, he's arrogant. He's too cocky.
Good.
Well, look at all the other quarterbacks that are legit. You know who he reminds me of? And I know Bears fans are going to hate me for saying this. He reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. That type of persona. That type of arrogance. Like, I'm going to beat you. There is only certain – I only have a certain confidence with a few quarterbacks like that that I know are going to march down the field on you in, like, 30 seconds. It's only I've only had that feeling with Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Patrick Mahomes, and C.J. Stroud threw his name in the mix there last year. That's what I got after a preseason game. I know it's preseason, but he has this aura. His aura is beyond the clouds. It's pink skies. It's glorious. He's going to be – we're going to win a Super Bowl. We are.
Josh, I have never talked to anybody who is as excited after having a softball game rained out as you are right now, and I appreciate your phone call.
Chris, thank you.
Josh said nothing wrong. Everything he said is correct. He is correct. Caleb Williams is the truth. He is going to win a Super Bowl. It's not going to be this year. I don't know. Maybe it will. Maybe it will. I don't. You never know. Strange things happen. Right?
No applause, huh?
No, look, man, I really don't think you can bring me down from the Caleb high unless something stupid happens, but I don't expect anything stupid to happen. And
he's
listen,
Babe effing Ruth.
If Caleb Williams, I despise Aaron Rodgers as a person, absolutely despise him, but if Caleb emulates him to the point where he is cocky, believing he can win all the time. If he falls short of the the dark room stuff and ivermectin, look, I am on board. I'm on board with Caleb Williams. He can do whatever he wants. He can paint his fingernails, toenails. He can put on lipstick. I don't care what he does. I don't care what he does anyway. And I especially don't care if he wins football games. That's what I want for my guy. Feeling pretty good about Caleb. Feeling pretty good. And I think on Saturday afternoon at about 1 o'clock, tomorrow at about 1:15, maybe sooner than that, I think you're all still going to be feeling pretty good about Caleb. He's not going to play the whole game. He's going to play maybe a quarter. So let's give it like 45 minutes. I think 45 minutes after 12 o'clock, we are still going to be feeling really good about Caleb Williams.
Bears.
That's what I think. Appreciate your phone calls tonight. As I mentioned, when we come back, I do want you to hear from Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins, who spoke with 670 The Score earlier today, had some really interesting stuff to say. And I think it is worth hearing as the Cubs won their ball game today. And they did so in the 10th inning after losing the lead in the ninth. This interview, of course, took place prior to that. But you're going to want to hear what Carter Hawkins has to say. We will do that when we come back. I'm Chris Ranji, filling on The Score tonight.
Go Bears.
Bears.
Now the 2-2. Sale whips one off the ground. Fair in the left field for a base hit. Half around third. He's coming home. The throw nowhere near in time. Cubs win. Walk-off RBI single in the 10th. Seiya Suzuki. And the Cubs beat the Blue Jays 6-5.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Final segments on 670 The Score. So happy you hung out with us. Bears training camp coverage presented by Chicago Drives Chicago.com. and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That is ChevyDrivesChicago.com. I am Chris Ronji filling in tonight. Man, it's been so good to talk some Bears football with you tomorrow and some Cubs. We've talked a little bit of Cubs. And tomorrow, Inside the Clubhouse will get started at 9 o'clock. Gabe Ramirez takes over at 11. Certainly, he will be talking some Bears leading up to the 12 o'clock kickoff, which happens at noon. And then there is Cubs baseball with the pregame show starting at 12:45. I was listening earlier on The Score today with Lawrence Holmes and Layla Rahimi filling in for Dan Bernstein. And they had a conversation with Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins. And the first question they asked him was about this season and how so far through this part of the year, he was able to assess what the Cubs have been doing.
Yeah, and I think the easiest and most clear-eyed way to look at it is, you know, we've been a little bit below average offensively. We've been slightly above average on the pitching side, and that probably equals out to about average, and that's about where our run differential is, and we're about a 500 team right now. And, you know, we definitely feel like we can play better than that, but have enough to this point and got to figure out what levers we can pull to get there.
I think the big question, too, is what, after seeing this series, is meaningful to you against the Guardians? Different division, different team. And I said to Lawrence earlier, you know as well as anybody else, that series not necessarily is the one that should be the measuring stick just because it's the most recent. I know that wins are needed there, but you have a whole body of work leading up to this where it shouldn't have to necessarily come down to worrying about a series against one of the teams who has the best record in the AL at their house. You know, the National League to me is much more valid. So where do you sit with it all after seeing what you saw this last three games?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, over 162 game season that, you know, we're trying our best not to look at any one game or three games or even, you know, 30 or 60 games necessarily to make our decisions, you know, just as much as when we came out of sweep in Baltimore, you know, at their place, that, you know, we weren't necessarily crowning ourselves by any means either. So, you know, you really try to look at the whole, and then there's certainly things you can learn from each game and learn from each day. But, you know, really, it's, you know, so Friday where we got to win a baseball game, and tomorrow will be a Saturday we got to win a baseball game. And as boring as that sounds, it's the best way to win baseball games, and you know, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Right. And then to me, how much do you have to kind of stop yourself? Because we did it with the trade deadline, you know, oh, these series matters to trying to evaluate the team, or you're trying to figure out if you're going to make the playoffs. We obviously point to what happened last September as a learning lesson. So how are you able to weigh those? And do you, when you consider the whole body work as a whole, how much does timing factor in?
Yeah, certainly when you have things like the deadline, and, you know, obviously at some point we'll have played all 162. You know, Council talked about that a little bit in terms of just we've definitely dug ourselves a hole that we're trying to get out of here. And we don't get to play a 1,000-game season. But, yeah, I mean, I think – you know, the timing of these different deadlines dictates decisions that need to be made. You know, that's why obviously a lot of teams make trades at that point, and then you have to kind of choose some sort of direction, but you're not just necessarily choosing a direction for that year. You're choosing directions for years after that, and that's what we tried to do with the Paredes trade, for instance, is think about how to make our team better in 25, 26, 27, and on. And, you know, so it's constantly looking at the micro of what's going on today, but then, yeah, from Jed and my perspective, taking a real step back and saying, what does it look like over the next several years?
What is the process going to be like when you guys start? Because you don't want to be in a situation, whether it's this season or last season, where you have to hope for a crazy hot streak to give you an opportunity to get into the playoffs. So what's the process of the in-season stuff, the off-season stuff, that you guys are going to do to look at the roster and go, how can we avoid a situation like this in the future?
Yeah, it's about just continuing to improve the true talent level of the team. You know, I think if you took a step back and looked at the 2023 team, I think externally people thought it was about a 78, 79 win team. And then this year externally, people thought it was around a 81, 82 win team. And, you know, certainly internally, we're always trying to get above that. And so it's trying to figure out, okay, you know, A, how can we bring better players in? But then B, with the players that we have, what are the levers that we can pull? So making sure that we're having optimal off-season plans, making sure that we're leaving no stone unturned and continuing to figure out ways to level up the roster. Like, that's the key to the game. And, you know, we're certainly at the point now with this organization and the window that we're heading into where we're going to be making decisions that hopefully help us get over that hump that we're all looking forward to getting over.
Yesterday on the Score, Jed said that the team is going to go over the CBT this year. And of course, one of the natural questions is, well, by how much ultimately? And was there at least some thought as far as how much over you guys could be? Because to me, once you're over it, the question becomes like, well, then how much do you want to actually spend? If that wasn't the effective limit for you guys, what can you give us some more detail on this as far as that part of it? And then what the decision was to go into the spending once you were over it?
Yeah, in terms of the like CBT calculations, it's complicated enough so that we have to have a couple guys here that are constantly trying to help us figure out, you know, exactly where we are and exactly where other teams are. It has a lot to do with, you know, players that get injured and just where guys are in their contracts. And there's a lot of minutia to that that makes it difficult to say exactly where a team is. But, you know, I do think, you know, barring any changes, that it's likely that we'll be over this year. And, you know, that's, you know, about where our budget was, you know, this year, but about where we were and something that we expected to do and something that Tom allowed us to do. So, I mean, there's always constraints with every team, you know, from a budget standpoint. But, you know, I think as Crane said yesterday, the CBT certainly wasn't a governor.
Yeah, to me, that was part of it, was we all thought it was. And then the next question naturally is, well, if you guys are going over, why don't you just like put the, you know, the pedal to the floor there? So what was the discussion when it came to trying to figure that out? Because I know you guys want to get as many free agents as you can or sign who you need to. But yeah, I tend to think if you're going to spend, then why didn't you guys go farther?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, like talking to your spouse about buying a house. Hey, why not just buy a bigger house? It's like, well, like at some point, everybody's got some sort of constraint, whether it's the Guardians, whether it's the Cubs, or, you know, whether it's the Mets. And you know, that's the conversation each offseason is, what is our budget? And then we spend within that and try to build our best team.
Carter, we've seen a better version of Dansby Swanson offensively for the last 40 games or so. Is he okay, like physically okay? Like, and I don't mean just the regular bruises and bumps that every major league player does. Like, there was I was actually concerned that maybe he was having knee problems or whatever. Because I want to judge a player fairly. And at the end of this, like, if you guys say, well, you know, Dansby had to go get scoped, I'm going to feel like a jerk. Because I've been getting on Dansby because he's not producing. So I just want to make sure, is he all right? And why are we seeing a better version of him now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's ups and downs, obviously, for any player over the course of a season. And, you know, there is a lot of guys on our team that are dealing with stuff like you're talking about right now. And guys that have dealt with stuff in the past that no one ever finds out about. And, you know, certainly when the guy goes in the off season and gets scoped or has some sort of surgery like that, it kind of reveals to the rest of the world what might have been happening. But, you know, I think that's something that's so, you know, special about a guy like Dansby is his ability to play almost 162 games every year, despite the fact it's hard playing major league shortstop. It's hard playing a major league game every day, and the work those guys put in to do it is really impressive. And I think the resurgence that you're seeing a little bit from him recently is just his ability to stay focused and continue to prepare his body every day to be the shortstop and the hitter that we know it can be. And, you know, we're getting closer to that.
That is Carter Hawkins on the Score earlier today. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate you hanging out with me tonight on a Friday night. Again, the Bears will play tomorrow at noon, and we are hoping for a good showing there. Want to thank our guests tonight, Mark Grody, Megan Montemurro, Jeremy Rao, and Herb Howard. Want to thank our producer for tonight, Sean Sears. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'll be back with you next Thursday from 6 until 9. Hope you join me then. My name is Chris Ranji. This is 670 The Score.
Now the 2-2. Sam whips one off the ground, fair in the left field for a base hit. Hap around third. He's coming home. The throw nowhere near in time. Cubs win. Walk-off RBI single in the 10th. Seiya Suzuki. And the Cubs beat the Blue Jays 6-5.
We're back with host Chris Ranji on The Score.
Final segments on 670 The Score. So happy you hung out with us. Bears training camp coverage presented by ChicagoDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. That is ChevyDrivesChicago.com. I am Chris Ranji filling in tonight. Man, it's been so good to talk some Bears football with you tomorrow and some Cubs. We've talked a little bit of Cubs. And tomorrow, Inside the Clubhouse will get started at 9 o'clock. Gabe Ramirez takes over at 11. Certainly, he will be talking some Bears leading up to the 12 o'clock kickoff, which happens at noon, and then there is Cubs baseball with the pregame show starting at 12:45. I was listening earlier on The Score today with Lawrence Holmes and Layla Rahimi filling in for Dan Bernstein, and they had a conversation with Cubs general manager Carter Hawkins, and the first question they asked him was about this season and how so far through this part of the year he was able to assess what the Cubs have been doing.
Yeah, and I think the easiest and most clear-eyed way to look at it is, you know, we've been a little bit below average offensively. We've been slightly above average on the pitching side, and that probably equals out to about average, and that's about where our run differential is, and we're about a 500 team right now. And, you know, we definitely feel like we can play better than that, but have enough to this point and got to figure out what levers we can pull to get there.
I think the big question, too, is, what, after seeing this series, is meaningful to you against the Guardians? Different division, different team. And I said to Lawrence earlier, you know as well as anybody else, that series not necessarily is the one that should be the measuring stick just because it's the most recent. I know that wins are needed there, but you have a whole body of work leading up to this where it shouldn't have to necessarily come down to worrying about a series against one of the teams who has the best record in the AL at their house. You know, the National League to me is much more valid. So where do you sit with it all after seeing what you saw this last three games?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, over a 162-game season that, you know, we're trying our best not to look at any one game or three games or even, you know, 30 or 60 games necessarily to make our decisions, you know, just as much as when we came out of sweep in Baltimore, you know, at their place, that, you know, we weren't necessarily crowning ourselves by any means either. So, you know, you really try to look at the whole, and there's certainly things you can learn from each game and learn from each day. But, you know, really, it's, you know, so Friday where we got to win a baseball game, and tomorrow will be a Saturday we got to win a baseball game. And as boring as that sounds, it's the best way to win baseball games, and you know, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Right. And then to me, how much do you have to kind of stop yourself? Because we did it with the trade deadline, you know, oh, these series matter as to trying to evaluate the team, or you're trying to figure out if you're going to make the playoffs. We obviously point to what happened last September as a learning lesson. So how are you able to weigh those? And do you, when you consider the whole body work as a whole, how much does timing factor in?
Yeah, certainly when you have things like the deadline, and, you know, obviously at some point we'll have played all 162. You know, Counts has talked about that a little bit in terms of just we've definitely dug ourselves a hole that we're trying to get out of here, and we don't get to play a 1,000-game season. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the timing of these different deadlines dictates decisions that need to be made. You know, that's why obviously a lot of teams make trades at that point, and then you have to kind of choose some sort of direction, but you're not just necessarily choosing a direction for that year, you're choosing directions for years after that. And that's what we tried to do with the Paredes trade, for instance, is think about how to make our team better in 25, 26, 27 and on. And, you know, so it's constantly looking at the micro of what's going on today. But then, yeah, from Jed and my perspective, taking a real step back and saying, what does it look like over the next several years?
What is the process going to be like when you guys start? Because you don't want to be in a situation, whether it's this season or last season, where you have to hope for a crazy hot streak to give you an opportunity to get into the playoffs. So what's the process of the in-season stuff, the off-season stuff that you guys are going to do to look at the roster and go, how can we avoid a situation like this in the future?
Yeah, it's about just continuing to improve the true talent level of the team. You know, I think if you took a step back and looked at the 2023 team, I think externally people thought it was about a 78, 79 win team. And then this year externally, people thought it was around a 81, 82 win team. And, you know, certainly internally, we're always trying to get above that. And so it's trying to figure out, okay, you know, A, how can we bring better players in? But then B, with the players that we have, what are the levers that we can pull? So making sure that we're having optimal off-season plans, making sure that we're leaving no stone unturned and continuing to figure out ways to level up the roster, like that's the key to the game. And you know, we're certainly at the point now with this organization and the window that we're heading into where we're going to be making decisions that hopefully help us get over that hump that we're all looking forward to getting over.
Yesterday on The Score, Jed said that the team is going to go over the CBT this year. And of course, one of the natural questions is, well, by how much ultimately? And was there at least some thought as far as how much over you guys could be? Because to me, once you're over it, the question becomes like, well, then how much do you want to actually spend? If that wasn't the effective limit for you guys, what can you give us some more detail on this as far as that part of it? And then what the decision was to go into the spending once you were over it?
Yeah, in terms of the like CBT calculations, it's complicated enough so that we have to have a couple guys here that are constantly trying to help us figure out, you know, exactly where we are and exactly where other teams are. It has a lot to do with, you know, players that get injured and just where guys are in their contracts. And there's a lot of minutia to that makes it difficult to say exactly where a team is. But, you know, I do think, you know, barring any changes, that it's likely that we'll be over this year. And, you know, that's, you know, about where our budget was, you know, this year, but about where we were and something that we expected to do and something that Tom allowed us to do. So, there's always constraints with every team, you know, from a budget standpoint. But, you know, I think as Crane said yesterday, the CBT certainly wasn't a governor.
Yeah, to me, that was part of it, was we all thought it was. And then the next question naturally is, well, if you guys are going over, why don't you just like put the pedal to the floor there? So what was the discussion when it came to trying to figure that out? Because I know you guys want to get as many free agents as you can or sign who you need to. But yeah, I tend to think if you're going to spend, then why didn't you guys go farther?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, like talking to your spouse about buying a house. Hey, why not just buy a bigger house? It's like, well, like at some point, everybody's got some sort of constraint, whether it's the Guardians, whether it's the Cubs, or, you know, whether it's the Mets. And you know, that's the conversation each offseason is, what is our budget? And then we spend within that and try to build our best team.
Carter, we've seen a better version of Dansby Swanson offensively for the last 40 games or so. Is he okay, like physically okay? Like, and I don't mean just the regular bruises and bumps that every major league player does. And like, there was I was actually concerned that maybe he was having knee problems or whatever. Because I want to judge a player fairly. And at the end of this, like, if you guys say, well, you know, Dansby had to go get scoped, I'm going to feel like a jerk. Because I've been getting on Dansby because he's not producing. So I just want to make sure, is he all right? And why are we seeing a better version of him now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's ups and downs, obviously, for any player over the course of a season. And, you know, there is a lot of guys on our team that are dealing with stuff like you're talking about right now. And guys that have dealt with stuff in the past that no one ever finds out about. And, you know, certainly when the guy goes in the off season and gets scoped or has some sort of surgery like that, it kind of reveals to the rest of the world what might have been happening. But you know, I think that's something that's so, you know, special about a guy like Dansby is his ability to play almost 162 games every year, despite the fact it's hard playing major league shortstop. It's hard playing a major league game every day, and the work those guys put in to do it is really impressive. And I think the resurgence that you're seeing a little bit from him recently is just his ability to stay focused and continue to prepare his body every day to be the shortstop and the hitter that we know it can be. And, you know, we're getting closer to that.
That is Carter Hawkins on The Score earlier today. That's going to do it for us. Appreciate you hanging out with me tonight on a Friday night. Again, the Bears will play tomorrow at noon, and we are hoping for a good showing there. Want to thank our guests tonight, Mark Grody, Megan Montemurro, Jeremy Rao, and Herb Howard. Want to thank our producer for tonight, Sean Sears. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'll be back with you next Thursday from 6 until 9. Hope you join me then. My name is Chris Ranji. This is 670 The Score.